I'd like to welcome each and every one of you here today. We appreciate you being here on this Palm Sunday, and we hope that God will richly bless you during this Holy Week. Several announcements and concerns for you. First of all, the altar flyers are given to the glory of God from Raymond and Kate Davis in honor of their 54th wedding anniversary. Happy anniversary. Many blessings, and hope you have 54 more. Many blessings. Many blessings. Also, just so everybody knows, today's the last day to order the geraniums and the lilies, so be aware of that. We're also having a card shower for Riley Burton. Going to turn 100 on the 23rd of this month, so we're trying to celebrate her 100th birthday. And if you have a 100th birthday, you ought to have a card shower at the very least. Holy Week services. Maundy Thursday, 7 o'clock. Good Friday, 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. I know it says something else in here. 7 o'clock. Everything's 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock for the a.m. service, the 7 a.m. down at the old church, and then the 10:30 here. That's the only difference in any of that. So everything will be 7 o'clock. So don't worry about that. And we'll try to send some reminders out this week. Also, the O Wings Group 2 invites all ladies of Oregon to their annual spring event, May the 4th. This year, 5 o'clock over in the Fellowship Hall, and I know they're going to have a big time, and I hope all the ladies enjoy themselves and just have a great fellowship. Also, our sympathies expressed to Wayne McCullough and family and friends upon the death of Wayne's brother, Charlie Frank Hendricks, better known as Benny, and many blessings to y'all. Also, Camp Agape sign-up will be May 5th and 12th. Want to try to get all of our children here signed up for that, so be aware of that. Anything maybe need to remind folks of before we continue on? At this time, the children have a message for you that they want to bring, a little announcement, and they're coming up now.
Do you have your supplies? Then I'm sorry, you cannot give birth here. Please go away.
Only 41% of women in Uganda give birth with any medical help, because in order for them to have medical help, they must bring their own supplies to the hospital or clinic, and the majority of women cannot afford them.
There are over 1 million orphans in Uganda, and the majority of them became orphans because their mom died from preventable pregnancy complications and giving birth in unsanitary environments because they cannot get to the hospital.
There are almost 20 women in Uganda that die each day due to pregnancy complications and giving birth that is 40 times higher than the USA.
Well, we need the help, because if women don't show up with supplies, they are denied help, and a bunch of them die from this.
That's why Mercy for Mamas is helping women by supplying mama kits that have everything that women would need to give birth in a hospital or a clinic in Uganda.
So the Luke League has decided to help the woman partner with Mercy for Mamas. This is coming Mother's Day. In your bulletin, you will see the fundraiser we are going to do for buying mama kits and cloth diapers for Ugandan women.
You can purchase one of these life-saving mama kits for $7 in honor or memory of a special mom in your life. The cloth diaper donation for these moms is only $5.50.
Please give a special gift this Mother's Day. We will be taking orders the next couple of weeks, and we'll have a display on Mother's Day representing all of the mama kits and diapers we were able to donate.
Thank y'all. They're going to hand something out to you about this. This is a serious issue, and a lot of these third world countries are this way. If you don't bring your supplies, to the hospital, you're not getting served. Not like here where you come. They charge us a lot for the supplies here, but at least they have them when you get there. It's sad, and many of these children will die, and many of these ladies will die just because they don't have the care and the facilities that we are blessed with here in the United States. So I hope that everybody will try to help out as we can, and let's try to do what we can to help the youth. It's a good project that they're doing. It's one of their mission works that they are trying to do. While they're handing those out, let's all stand as we are able for our confession and our forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated if you would. And let's have our children come forward for the children's message, please.
Morning. Morning, everybody. Y'all doing good? Yeah? That's good. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good. All right. So, did y'all notice anything different about this morning than a regular Sunday morning? Anybody wearing something on their shirt different? Yeah? Did anybody do anything different coming in? Yeah, it's a Palm Sunday, so we have the palm crosses and everything else. Does anybody know what the palms are for, why we're doing this on Palm Sunday? Does anybody know? Yeah, it's when Jesus came into Jerusalem and he was riding on a donkey and they were waving the palm branches and putting them down in front of him and everything. Yeah. And they were saying Hosanna, exactly. So do you know what the palm meant? What the palm branch meant? Did you see the choir's palm branches that they were holding? Do you know what that meant to those people? It actually was their symbol of trying to make sure that the Romans that were there, that were controlling the area, would go away. And they thought that Jesus was going to get all the people who were controlling them and get them to leave so that they could be in charge of themselves as a country. So kind of like when this country was founded and we had the American flag, that early American flag that we would wave as a symbol of not being under the British rule anymore, it's kind of similar to that. Now, just 1 week later, what's next Sunday? Easter, when Jesus rose again from the dead. So by Friday, the same people that were waving the palm branches were the same ones who wanted Jesus to die on the cross. Why do you think that was? Does anybody have an idea? Because they thought he was going to come in and help them to push the Romans out and save them from the Romans. Because he was going to be the Messiah, and that's what they thought the Messiah was going to do. But what did Jesus really do? He came in, and he was the Messiah, and they thought he was going to push the Romans out, but he actually pushed out sin and the death and the devil. And so he didn't just save them from Romans, he saved them from being separated from God, and he saved them from their sins. And he did something different than what they expected. And guess what that means, too? If Jesus only saved them from the Romans, then that wouldn't affect us, because they were 2,000 years ago. But Jesus saved those people and all of us. Isn't that pretty good news? So when we're looking at the palm branches on Palm Sunday, let's remember that we were wanting the Messiah, and God sent the Messiah, and the Messiah did even better than what people expected him to do. He saved people from their sins, and he saved people from death and the devil. And so when we see the palm branches, remember that Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the King, he's got all the power, and then we're going to remember that as we go into Holy Week and think about how he died on the cross, and then next Easter Sunday, okay? Can we do that? So when you see those palms, remember that Jesus was the Messiah, and he was even better than we expected him to be. Sound good? All right, let's pray. We'll get a sucker, you can go to Children's Church, okay? Dear Lord, we thank you for loving us and for sending your Son, and we thank you that Jesus was the Messiah that we were waiting for, but he was the Messiah that was even better than what we expected, and thank you for your wonderful work of saving us. In your name we pray, amen. All right, y'all, you can get a sucker here. There you go. Let me move it over here. Please stand if you're able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
help save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, that all of humanity should follow the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may both follow the example of his patience and also be made partakers of his resurrection through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Please pass the peace.
The first reading comes from Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, beginning with the 36th verse. For the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there is none remaining, bond or free. Then he will say, where are their gods, the rock in which they took refuge? Who ate the fat of their sacrifice and drank the wine of the drink offered? Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. Here ends the reading. Now let us read responsibly the song, Psalm 118. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them and I will offer thanks to the Lord. I will give thanks to you, for you answer me and have become my salvation. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Hosanna, Lord, Hosanna. Lord, send us now success. God is the Lord, he has shined upon us. Form a possession with branches up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will thank you. You are my God, and I will exalt you.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Now let us read, the second reading is from Philippians, the second chapter, the fifth, beginning with the fifth verse. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born like the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Here ends the reading.
Now the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 22nd chapter. I'd like to ask for everyone to please be seated. This is an extremely long gospel, and our sermon today is going to be the gospel. I may make a few comments in between, but let's go to the Lord in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you for this beginning today of the week of the Passion. We do pray, God, that you might fill our hearts with repentance. You might fill our hearts with introspection. God, that at the end, come Easter Sunday, that we might be filled with all the joy that comes with it. We pray today that your Spirit might move upon this text as it is apt to do, and that God, you might take this seed and it might be planted within our hearts, and that it might grow and it might have a great, a mighty harvest. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew near, which is called the Passover. And it's seeking how to put Jesus to death, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12. You have to remember, Judas was a disciple. We sometimes forget that. He was beloved of Jesus. He was his friend. Sometimes we must be very weary of what happened. Sometimes Satan may enter into people. He went away, conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and sought an opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of a crowd. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there." And they went and found it just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Remember, he gave his entire self for you and for me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. A dispute arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. Be not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as the one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as the one who serves." And this is an example that each and every one of us should take to heart, that the Lord himself, the King of Kings, God in the flesh, incarnate, came to serve and not to be served. It's a great lesson for each and every one of us. We always want to be the one being served, but we should seek to be the one who is the server, just like Jesus. You are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. There may be those of us who Satan has desired to sift just like wheat. He will come to each and every one of us, maybe many times, but he will come. I promise you, Satan will come. He will seek to sift each and every one of us. And I pray that we stand through the trials, and that once we have stood through those trials, then we should come back and we should be there to strengthen our brothers and sisters who are now facing that same sifting and that same treatment by the devil. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times that you know me. And he said to them, when I sent you out with no money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything? They said nothing. He said to them, but now let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a knapsack. And let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors, for what is written about me has its fulfillment. And they said, look, Lord, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. And he came out and went, as it was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. While he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and a man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? And when those who were around him saw what would follow, they said, Lord, shall we strike with a sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, no more of this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple and elders who had come out against him, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, this man also was with him. But he denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. And after an interval of about another hour, still another insisted, saying, certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are talking about. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him as they beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, "Prophesy who it is that struck you." And they said many other things against him, blaspheming him. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people gathered together, both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away to their council. And they said, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God." So they all said, "Are you the Son of God then?" And he said to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from our own lips." Many will try to tell you that Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God. Right here, that testimony is found to be false because he is the Son of God. They understood what he was saying. And the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea and Galilee, even to this place." And when Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at the time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see him do some sign done by him. He just wanted to see a magic trick. That's what Herod wanted. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. And Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then, arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this they had been at enmity with each other. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been found done in this by this man. I will therefore punish and release him." But they all cried out together, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas." Remember what day this is. This is Palm Sunday. This was a day they were singing joyous praises to their coming king, lauding Jesus, praising him, glad to see him. And now, just a short few days later, they are ready to kill him in the most gruesome way, probably diabolical way that human beings have ever devised to kill another human being. And trust me, there is no depth to our depravity as humanity for the ways we have discovered to kill other human beings. We are sickening, and this is a sick death. But the same people who praised him are now willing to kill him. "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas," a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Do you know who Barabbas is? Go look in the mirror. We're Barabbas. Every one of us is Barabbas. We deserved that. Barabbas was a murderer. He was a true criminal. He deserved what he was getting for a punishment. And so do you and I. We need to remember that as we finish out this Lenten season, that we deserve the punishment, but thank God, Jesus, the glorious Lord and Savior, took that punishment upon himself. We are Barabbas. We are him because we deserve that punishment. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked. But he delivered Jesus over to their will. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of people and of women who were mourning and lamenting him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breast that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right, one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What an example. The greatest example of forgiveness and love that anybody could ever give. And I hope today we will follow that same example. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He said to them, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, to your hands I commend my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for the spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and a righteous man who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. This is the gospel of the Lord.
confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. But chiefly we are bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of our Lord. For he is the true Passover Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who by his death has destroyed death, and by his rising has brought us to eternal life. So with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name. Join their unending. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit that by this Holy Communion we may know the unity we share with all your people in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forevermore. Amen. Now let us pray the way our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated if you would. At this time, we invite all baptized Christians to join us in this Holy Communion. And we do have a gluten-free option if you need that, so just please let us know. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace, lead you unto eternal life. And now the Lord's face shine upon you, God's grace rest with you. And may the Lord touch you as you end this Lenten journey. And may you be very rejoiceful at what happens in the resurrection. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.